Welcome, Pastor Rob.
Thank you, Pastor Rob. But we do have a lot going on, and it's, you know, it's exciting just to see what God is doing in your lives and the life of our community. And you know, we got together Friday night, and our prayer room was just packed with people coming together to pray for our nation and all that's going on, you know. And our youth pastor Jeff, he's a LA city police department policeman, and we just need to keep Jeff covered in prayer as he goes to work and is down there, you know, because, I mean, last night, and, you know, there's a lot of protesting and stuff going on. So protesting isn't going to change what prayer can, amen? So come this Friday night, 7 o'clock out in the prayer room. Delonda's going to be leading prayer this week, and we want to pray, amen? Tuesday at 10 o'clock, my sister over here, Renee, is leading prayer at 10 a.m. in the prayer room also. So, and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon, Church of the Open Doors leading prayer out there too. So you can come to any of them, all of them, but we need to pray. Amen? Amen. Well, today we're going to continue in the book of Colossians. The title of my message is Character. How many of you are a character? How many of you got character? We all have some kind of character. It's just, is it godly or not? And so that's what we want to go through today, talk about character out of Colossians chapter 3, 12 through 17. So if you stand with me and read the word. It's titled The Character of the New Man, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into this time of your word, we have sang praises to you. We have brought our gifts, our offerings to you. And I pray, Father, that you just expand our hearts today to receive the word, Lord, that we would continually be transformed by the hearing of your word, and that, Lord, your grace would be sufficient in all things. So, Father, we thank you for this time and this word. Let us leave here today transformed from being in your presence. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, we do a lot of training here at New Hope, but it doesn't happen on Sunday mornings always. We have the service here. You know, I just timed it out last week. There's 10,080 minutes in a week. So you might be here for 120 minutes today because I'm just getting started at, you know, an hour. Let's see, at 75 minutes, you know. So we might be here a little longer than the 80 minutes. But just imagine, 10,080 minutes, if this is all the God you get out of 10,080 minutes, that gives you like 9,980 minutes for the rest of your week. So you have to be attentive to the Lord in that time too, amen? It can't be about just right now. Oh, I went to church on Sunday. Great. What did you do on Monday? So, yeah. Come on. I'm telling you the truth. But, you know, last week we got into, you know, as Paul was talking about last week, he talked about a lot of taking things off. And this week he's challenging us to put some things on. You know, and he begins, and as he's talking, he says, you know, he calls us the elect of God and beloved, holy and beloved of God. You're the elect. Elect means to be chosen. And it's not that God is up there sitting there saying, well, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you, I choose you. And he's not selecting on that basis. It's many are called, but few choose to. God's intention is that everybody hear the gospel. God's intention is that God be revealed to everybody, and then he lets us decide what we're going to do. Okay, so he doesn't just say, I believe that every person is appointed to God. They're created by God for his purpose. But not everybody elects to go along with him. Not everybody chooses to follow after the Lord. But even the very nature itself reveals God. So whether they hear the words or just see him, you know, see him in nature, everybody can know that there is God. Amen? And he, there is only one God. And Paul, he calls us the elect, but he says, you are holy. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, you're holy. You're holy. How many of you feel holy? Just a couple of you. Come on now. You're holy. You got to get it in your heart. That's what Rob's class is about, that you realize you're holy. You're the beloved of God. Your holiness, it's in you. It's his holiness in you. And so now, you know, we can put off those things he talked about and put on these new things. It's like throwing away the old shirt, you know. You throw away the old shirt and you put on a new shirt. Amen? And it's just like, wow, what happened to you? Well, I got a new shirt. You see, well, that's the thing. In the kingdom, I got rid of my old nature and I put on a new nature. But how many of you know that takes work? To put on a new nature, it takes thinking about it. It takes challenging yourself. But I do know this. The Word of God does not call you trash. It calls you holy. The Word of God does not declare you unworthy. It declares you holy. You're the beloved of God. You say, well, I don't act like it. It's not based on you. It's based on who he is in you. So if you have Jesus in your life, if you've committed your life to Christ, you're holy. Look at your neighbor and say, you're holy. So in that holiness, number one, Paul tells us to put some things on. To put on tender mercies. You know, when I think of mercy, when I think of grace, I just think of not getting what I deserve. See, that's why Jesus came, so I don't get what I deserve. So if I'm going to walk in tender mercies, I shouldn't be giving people what I think they deserve. I should give them the same mercy and love that God has extended me, not what they deserve. Because if that's our old man, that's our old nature, giving people what they deserve. But tender mercies, I got to choose to put it on. Give people what they don't deserve. The love, the care, the understanding, the patience. You know, number two, he says, put on kindness. Not number two, but, you know, put on tender mercies, put on kindness. Put it on. Be kind. Well, I'm not the very kind person. Well, change. You say, wow, just like that? Well, yeah, when you put on Christ, man, you can change. You can be kind. And then be humble. He calls us to humility. You know, and in my humility, I recognize this. I need God. I need God in everything. But you know what else I need? I need you. We need each other. Iron sharpens iron. You know, we in our humility, we need, you know, so many people don't like to ask for help. You know, it's just like one day my mom came to me when she was alive. She said, she was in the healing line. And I'm like, Mom, what are you doing in here? I'm like, I'm your son, and I don't even know what's going on, you know. Why haven't you told me? Because she didn't like to tell anybody anything, you know. She just liked to keep it to herself. We need to humble ourselves and open up, amen. You know, and she's finally, well, I'm having surgery this week. I'm like, oh, come on, Mom. That's something I should know about. We need to humble ourselves because this is what the devil does. He says, Mike, if you tell them, they won't like you. If you tell them what's going on in your life, they won't receive you. You see, so the Lord says, humble yourself, find somebody that you can trust, and open yourself up. Because the enemy, like if I have a habit that's not a very godly habit, Pastor Rob, and I don't tell anybody, I'll be stuck in that habit. I mean, the devil will tell you, don't tell them. Don't tell them because Because if you can keep it bottled up in you, it'll stay. See, because when you bring it out into the light, then it's like, oh, you've just revealed not what you're going through, but you revealed the enemy. See, and that's what we need to do. We need to reveal the enemy. Because the enemy, darkness hates the light. And when you bring what the enemy's trying to do to you to the light, see, it Pastor Jay, sometimes we feel like it's our fault that the enemy's attacking us. And, you know, we may open doors in our life, and we may do things that gets the enemy to come at us. But listen, that's what the enemy does. He tries to destroy, amen? He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly in John 10:10. So you got to bring this stuff into the light, and you got to humble yourself to do it. It's like, you know, I don't want people to know my business. Man, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that. I sat down with a couple one day, and it was a couple years ago, and I said, why you want to see that? I mean, they didn't go to church. I said, why you want to see me? And he says, well, I'm angry at my wife. I said, how come? Well, she don't clean the house. I said, oh. And I looked at her. I said, why are we here? She said, I get mad because he tells me to clean the house. I said, do you guys want me to repeat back to you why we're here? I said, you want a clean house, and you're rebelling because he wants a clean house. I said, why are we really here? And he point blank looked at me and said, I don't know you well enough to tell you yet. I went, okay, because it can't be about a clean house. See, but when we humble ourselves, and eventually they did. About the third time in, she said, you better tell him or I'm going to tell him. And he did. He opened up his heart and he told me. And once he got it out, you know, then God can do things. Then God can do things. But we try to, you know, we try to keep it bottled up. But that part of the humility is that we can humble ourselves. And not you got to tell everybody you're junk, you know, but find somebody that's trustworthy that you can talk to, amen? We've got some good people around this church that are very trustworthy. And then meekness. Meekness is not weakness, okay? Meekness is power under control. It's just like Jesus was on the cross. He said, you know, when he's up there, he's like, you know, you guys are doing what you want because I let you. I could call down legions of angels and this would be over right now. That's meekness. It's power under control. You have the ability to squash somebody, but you don't. You have the ability with your tongue to cut somebody down, but you don't. See, that's meekness. That's power under control. And that's what he's telling us. Put it on. And then he says, put on long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. How many of you are patient people? How many are? I guess the better question would have been, who's not patient? God always works in me to be patient, you know. And when Delonda and I were younger, I would be so impatient with her. You know, when we had little kids and our little girls, you know, did not roll out of bed and just come to church. Our little girls, we had, you know, their hair were crimped and ponytailed and they had long blonde hair and they put on the frilly dress and the little nylon things and they wore little fur coats and, I mean, Delonda, man, she just dressed our, you know, just, they didn't roll out of bed and get to church, you know. So I was always on Delonda about being late because we lived 22 miles away. So that was a long time ago. And I would always, by the time we got to church, I would be so mad at her. I'd be like, she'd be like, don't touch me. I'm like, come on. You know, we'd be walking in the door and I'd be going, I'm sorry. You know, please don't make a scene when we get in church, okay? Please don't tell the pastor on me. It is so funny because a pastor talks about stuff like that and you're like, oh, I'm like, did you call him? What did you do? How does he know? Because the Lord knows what we need, amen? So the Lord told me one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So I got up and I started making the family breakfast. I learned how to do my girl's hair, crimp it and ponytail it and everything, you know. Delana taught me all that stuff, you know, so that we could be on time instead of coming 15 minutes late. I heard one amen. Because I tell you, when we started at 10 o'clock today, I'm like, oh. I'm up here praying my heart out going, come on. But patience, it goes a long ways in relationships. And then bearing with one another. I put in there, loving beyond the offense. Loving beyond the offense, bearing with one another. How many of you have ever been offended? You hang around here long enough, I guarantee I'll probably offend you. I say stupid stuff sometimes. It's funny to me, though. But love beyond the offense, amen? Just say, you know what, I love you, and I'm going to throw that one out. Delana does that to me all the time. She says, I love you. I'm throwing that one out, though. I'm like, okay. You know, because once I say it, then I never bring it up again. I don't even acknowledge that I ever said it again. She's like, you don't even talk about what you said the other night. And I'm like, what did I say? I like to forget those things, you know, in a hurry. She's like, I'm going to throw it out for you. I'm like, hallelujah. And then forgive one another. But see, these are the things that the Word of God is calling us to put on. This is not just, oh, I went to church today. What did you wear? What did you wear to church? Did you wear forgiveness? Or did you come into the house of the Lord today and have an offense against somebody? What's even worse, do you have somebody, an offense against somebody in the house of God? Well, now I'm stepping on your toes. Pull them back now. Here I go. We have to forgive one another. It's not an option. Amen? And it's not easy. But when we put it on, it flows. You got to put it on. And then love, which is the bond of perfection. That's where we get perfected. It's when we love. See, when you love even beyond the offense, when you love by forgiving, when you love by being patient, when you love by being meek, because you can squash him, but you choose not to. See, this is the power of love, that you're kind even when somebody doesn't really know you or deserve it. And you put on tender mercies. That's love, man. And he's telling us, put it on. Wear that. We took off the fornication, the uncleanness, the covetousness. We took all that off last week. Remember, we all joined hands around the outside here. We threw it all in the center. We just got rid of it all last week. We did away with it. But this week he's challenging. Put on these things. Put on these things. Wear them well. Maybe we put them on. How do you put it all on? Number one, be aware that they are there. They're there for you. Know that they're not just for a few. They're not just for pastors. They're for the body of Christ. Be aware of them and then get understanding of it. Start understanding, reading about it. Go into Colossians. I'm going to talk to you for just a few minutes today, but go into Colossians and break it down, man. Cross-reference and find out, what does it mean? Get an understanding of that. And then pay attention to your opportunities. Because God will give you opportunities. He'll give you opportunities to forgive. How will he do that? Somebody will wrong you. How will you bear with somebody that will offend you? See, but then you got to start looking for the opportunity instead of getting mad, instead of getting angry. Oh, you start thanking the Lord. You've created opportunity today. What is he creating opportunity for? For you to be perfected. He's perfecting you today. Now, some of you here today are going through some things that are very difficult. God's perfecting you. He's at work. Thank him. Rejoice in him. That's one of the points down there. I won't get into thankfulness, but rejoice. Pay attention. Those opportunities will come. And you know what? You're going to fail sometimes. How many of you ever failed at some of this? Okay, I'm talking to the right crowd. Dust yourself off and start again. Amen. When you make a mistake, repent. You know, and I have to apologize to my wife. I apologize to God. I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to do it again. And then, you know, but recognizing how you act is half the battle. Recognizing, oh, man, I need to put this on right now. Maybe you need to make a little 3x5 card and put it on your mirror and get up in the morning and declare, I put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, and bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and love, which is the bond of perfection. Put it on your mirror, and you read that every day. I put it on. When you're getting dressed, you put it in your closet. You're like, all right, I put this on. And you just put it on. You know, you're putting on your shirt, your pants, your socks, and just name each one. Name your sock. This is tender mercies. This is kindness. This is humility. This is meekness. You know, as you're putting the gel in your hair, this is how I bear with one another, you know. I mean, title them and put them on. This is how I forgive one another. I've been watching my wife too long. But we're putting on what is from God. We're dressing ourselves in the things of God, amen? And we put off the things of the world. We're putting on Christ. We're letting God reign in us and have his way in us. It's more of him and less of us, amen? He is alive inside of us. And we're walking it out in our lives. We're being developed. We're growing. We're changing. We're going after Jesus. That's what matters. And as you put these things on, number two, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Be peaceful, amen? We're called to be peaceful. Because you're in Jesus, be at peace. I went to see a missionary a few weeks ago. And, you know, missionaries have to raise support and they need all kinds of finances. This guy has his name is Keith Hershey. He has a ministry center in Beirut, Lebanon, where they do a lot of community things. They do churches in there, but it's in Beirut. He's even had the head of Hamas come to meetings that he's done there. He has a ministry center in the Philippines. He has Bible schools in Central America. He has land that he just purchased in Liberia, Africa, to start another ministry center. He has a ministry center in the San Fernando Valley. He's built in San Fernando Valley what he's doing around the world. And it takes money to make that world go round. And, you know, and missionaries, I can't tell you how many phone calls, emails I get from missionaries calling me saying, hey, I need money. Can you support me? Can we have lunch? Can we have a meeting? You know, always calling and trying to get their support because, you know, if you're an Assemblies of God missionary, to go to the field, you have to have a certain amount of backing. They do not want you to go out there and fail. So, like, I know, like, if I wanted to be a missionary to China, I'd have to probably raise $10,000 a month in support. Yeah, it's not an easy thing. So, but Keith, he's got these ministry centers around the world, and he says, you know, I've just stopped trying so hard. He goes, I just want to live in peace. I want to be at rest. He says, I have all this going on, but I just want to trust God. He goes, I'm not picking up the phone and calling every pastor now. You know, and he's a giver. Man, when he came here when I was doing the young adults years back, he brought all these books, and he gave so many books away. I did a missions conference a few months ago out in Riverside, and he was one of the guest speakers also, and he gave away everything that he brought. He didn't sell anything. He just gave it away. I think, man, that's awesome, you know, because so many times, you know, missionaries, they come, and they got their garb that they're trying to sell to you to get you because they need the money to do what they're called to do. And he's like, I'm just going to live in peace. I don't want to strive so hard for what God's called me to do. I just want to be in his presence. And God is blessing this man. It's amazing, you know, how God is blessing him. But I know people that have gone after things And when the door shuts to that thing, you know, they don't want that door to shut, so they get some dynamite and they blow the door open, you know, because it's like, I really want this, God. And they do everything they can to open that door, and then finally, God lets them open that door, and then they get what they want, and it's not really what God had for them, and they battle and they struggle. I did that once with a car. I bought a car for Delonda. She wanted this car. I said, yes. And I bought it for her. I didn't ask God. I bought her that car, and they called me a week later. They said, hey, Mr. King, this is when we were real young. They said, you know, you're going to have to put down some more money. I said, well, how much more? And they said, $1,800. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money. I said, man, Delana really wants that car. I said, okay, I'll get the money. I mean, I'll do it 3 weeks in a row. I'll give you so much money, you know. And I did it, and I got the money in there. And you know, every year for 5 years, the car motor blew. Every year. And every year when the car motor blew, I'd stop tithing and I'd fix the car. Because the thought was, well, God wants us to have a car. So I would stop giving and I would fix the car. And then I think you totaled it. Did you total it? Oh, yeah, you totaled it. Yeah, it went under a truck. Mm. Yeah. The car was a mess to us. It was a problem. I never inquired of the Lord. We never had peace when we had that car. So after that car got totaled, then I bought her another one, and she got in a head-on collision. I mean, I really think at this season in her life, the enemy was trying to take her out. The next one I bought her, she got in a head-on collision too. And I mean, she was, you know, three times in a row, it was like the devil was trying to take her out. But when the next one, when I went to go buy it, I said, Lord, how much money can I spend? And he said, you can put this much down and this much a month. I said, fantastic. So I went to dealership after dealership. I had a guy at one of the dealers here in Riverside chasing me out to my car, yelling at me because I wouldn't do what he wanted me to do. I said, I can't do that. God said no. And he's like, bah, 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 bah. And I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. So I went to a guy, and he turns around the screen. He says, all right, it's this much down, this month's a month. I said, get it ready. I'm taking it home. Wrote out the checks. Brought it home as a surprise to Delana. She took off and went camping after church on Sunday. Took the kids out camping. And the guy calls me on Monday. He says, Mr. King, he said, we need some more money. He said, we need to put more down. I said, okay. I said, I'll tell you what. My wife went camping, but when she gets back, I'll bring that used van back to you. He says, what? I said, well, God told me how much I could spend, and that's what we agreed upon, and now you're reneging, so obviously God's got something better for me, so I'll bring the car back. He's like, Mr. King, I will call you back. I said, absolutely. So he called me back 2 days later and said, Mr. King, we got you financed, no problem. He said, you just come by and sign these papers? I said, absolutely. You see, when you're living in peace and you're not striving after the things of this world, you're just resting in God, God makes a way. It doesn't mean I didn't do anything. I went and looked at cars. I talked to people all the time because we needed a car. I did my part, but I only did what God said I could do, amen, and it kept me in such peace. It doesn't mean that you don't do. It means you do what God's called you to do. Amen? We need to love. We need to forgive. We need to share the truth. Amen? And while you're walking in this peace, number three, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How? Richly. Let it dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. I was listening to a guy today who said, you know, when was the last time you asked the Lord for wisdom in a situation? When are you tugging on God for the wisdom of God to come upon you? Because he says if you ask for wisdom and you believe that he's going to give it to you, he'll give it to you. So when is the last time you asked for wisdom from above? And he talks about teaching, and then he says, you know, teach, share what God is doing in your life, amen? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Tell people what you know. Dawn and I, we have our time of reading, and we're reading last night, and she's, okay, what does that mean to you? Man, I just went off, and it was great, man. And, you know, it's just so peaceful, and we had just such a great night's sleep last night. You know, when you're just in the word, letting it dwell in you, and it says admonishing one another. Encourage one another. How? Sing a song over somebody. No amen? Come on. Sing a song over somebody. What did he say? He said, admonish people with songs. Songs from the Holy Spirit. It's singing what you don't know, but what the Spirit's put in your heart. Sing it over somebody. How many of you does that scare? And some of you won't raise your hand no matter what. I know that. So, but let it flow. Maybe you don't sing it. Maybe you write it. Maybe you just say it. Encourage. But he tells us to admonish one another. How many of you need encouragement today? All of us do. Okay, Don Maurice. All right, Don Maurice needs encouragement. Make sure somebody tells her a little something, you know. But we all need encouragement. It's true. So you come to the house of the Lord, we should build each other up. We should admonish each other, encourage each other. Hey, you know, pray before you come to church. Pray, come in with something in your heart. Oh, Lord, I know this is for somebody, but you may not know who yet, but when you see them, the Lord will point them out to me. It's for them. And you say, you know what, man, I was praying. I remember one day when I was first really trying to learn to move in the prophetic anointing, and I was standing right here in the front, and this lady is standing next to me. God says, I want you to tell this woman I think she's a good mom. Now, I knew her family, and they had their challenges. So my flesh kicked in, and I didn't say anything. And I said, okay, God, if she comes back, I'll tell her. So what do you know? She come back. So I leaned over. I said, hey, I'm just trying to be obedient to what God is telling me. And he wants me to tell you that he thinks you're a good mom. And she looked at me, and she said, I'm glad he thinks so, because I know I'm not. I'm like, oh. I mean, I got shut down. I said, what now, Lord? He said, just wait. About a minute later, she started sobbing. He said, now. And I just prayed for her that grace that God was trying to extend to her would just grow in her. Now, that's not just for me to do. Because we're not going to line up at the end of the service, and one by one, I encourage you. We might have some dessert or something out there for you that you can stick around and we can encourage each other, amen? That's what it's about. You admonish one another. You encourage. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's why we read it. I was with somebody the other day and he goes, you know, when people get in the car and they start driving and they say, oh, I forgot my phone. They turn around and, you got to go back, man. I got to get my phone. But if when they leave the house, they say, oh, I forgot my word. And they say, you want me to go back? No, it's okay. I get by without it. The word's got to dwell in us richly. It's got to be alive inside of us. And whatever you do, number four, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen? I put in my notes, in what you do and say, can you put the Lord's name on it? Because that's what matters. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So in what you do and what you say, can you put the Lord's name on it? Because that's where we need to examine our own hearts, right? I'm not going to examine you and say, well, you know. You examine yourself. What you do and say, you know, make sure that it's glorifying God in your words and your deeds, and let him shine through us. Amen? Let him be glorified through us. Allow yourself to be hidden in Christ. Be in Christ, amen? What does it say back in verse 11? It says, but Christ is all in all. And in another version, it says, Christ is all that matters. Let him be in all in you, amen? All in all. And while you're doing this, Number five, give thanks to God the Father. Thanksgiving is not just the last Thursday of November. It's every day, amen? It is constantly that we are to give thanks to the Lord. Thank Him for His death and resurrection. Thank Him for not giving you what you deserve. Thank Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank Him for redeeming your life out of the pit. Thank God for His love for you, amen? Thank God in everything. Thank God that He saved you from something. You know, Scott, I was praying for you the other day. And I feel like the situation you're in right now, God is saving you from something right now. I don't know what it is, but I just really felt, whether it's the traffic or whatever, but I felt like God is saving you right now from that situation. That this is a God thing for you to be safe. So just rejoice in it and be thankful while you're going through it. You know, and I'll rejoice with you too. So be thankful. Thank Him that you can put off your old nature. Thank Him for the new nature you can put on. See, because we decide what nature we're going to walk in. Are we going to walk in the old? Or are we going to walk in the new? We're going to walk in all the problems and troubles that we've had growing up, or are we going to walk in the newness of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the love and the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness? What are we going to walk in? I choose to put on Christ, amen? Amen, I choose to put on Christ. Now, in conclusion, we're going to take communion in a few minutes, so don't run out on me as I conclude. I taught a lot through the years on marriage. Delonda and I taught a class on marriage for 5.5 years. And through that class, I learned a lot. Because I really didn't know how to be married real well. But I taught myself through the Lord a lot of stuff about being married. And for those of you that want to get married, anybody here want to get married? All right, a few of you. You don't want to raise your hand, huh? But when people are dating, they tend to walk in their personality. When people are dating, they tend to put their best foot forward. They say the right things. They do the right things. They put on smell good stuff, you know. They comb their hair all the time, and they always try and wear the right clothes, you know. They want to be received well. They want to be accepted. They want love and acceptance, you know. So they're always doing the right thing. But when you get married, you find out what they're really like, because their character comes forward. And they settle into that, their true character. They say that men can be like a hunter, and that when men are dating, they're hunting, and that once they capture their wife, the hunt is over and they don't try anymore. I'm scaring all you ladies right now. But you find out what they're really like when you get married. All their habits that they held back on come out. So it's important to know the character of a person. So the question that I have for you today, in all that I have said about putting off and putting on, are you just dating the Lord, or are you all in? Dating would be that you just put on your best when you're around other Christians. Being all in, your character is the same all the time. You're allowing the Lord to take off the rough edges so that His kindness comes through. You humble yourself and admit you need to overcome a certain area of your life. You walk in love and forgiveness, encourage people as you walk through it. You're patient with those who are at the beginning of things that you've already gone through. And you encourage them and help them instead of judge them and condemn them. Are you all in? Or have you just been dating Jesus? What's your character? Character is who you are when no one's looking. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us such opportunity to put on such wonderful things. Lord, to put on your tender mercies, your kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing with one another, forgiving one another, and Lord, and loving one another. And Father, you've called us holy and beloved. Lord, I know all of us here would want to say we're all in. But Lord, I know some people here have just been dating you. But today, Lord, it's a new day. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I've just been dating the Lord. I haven't been all in the way I need to be. You know that God has called you to more. You know he's called you to a deeper relationship. But you've been dating. If that's you today, I want you to just raise your hand. Let's humble ourselves and raise our hand today and admit it. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Amen. You ready to go all in with Jesus? Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Amen. Many hands today. So why don't we all stand and let's just say this prayer together. I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me, and then Robert, after I'm done, if the communion team would come and prepare communion. We come and get communion. They'll stand across the front. You'll come and get the emblems this morning, and then we'll take it all together. But before we do, let's all pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, help me. I'm going all in today. I'm not holding anything back. I surrender wholly to you. Be my help. Be my strength. Be my peace. Help me to walk this through. I don't want to just date. I'm all in, Jesus. Be my Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. Robert, come. And Abe and Shirley, want to come on this side here. If you believe in Jesus, this is open communion. If you don't believe in Jesus, I wouldn't take it if I was you. If you didn't pray that prayer in faith, don't take it today, okay? It's just safer that way for you. But if you believe, this is an open communion. It's a time of remembering what Jesus has done for us. So come as the music just plays this morning and get the emblems and we'll take it all together in a few moments. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory to you, Jesus. We exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. praise you, Father. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. You know, in Colossians 3, when I read last week, it says verse 5, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked, when you lived in them. But now, everybody say, but now. But now. Hallelujah. You yourselves are to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man in his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So as we celebrate and we remember today, just remember that God has brought you from somewhere. We haven't always been holy. We haven't always been called beloved of God. But in Christ Jesus we are. And we are overcomers, amen? And he's called us to overcome. And I can just sit here and think about the things that he has caused me to overcome in my life and in this life. And I just rejoice today. And I'm so thankful for his love for me, that when he found me, he didn't leave me the way he found me. But he set me on a path of being holy and the beloved of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. And that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. Just go ahead and break your little cracker there. And he said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he shed his blood so that we could have life. Life is in the power of the blood. Whether we're red or yellow, black or white, our blood's all the same color. Amen. There's no racism in the kingdom of God. We're to be one in Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray right now, before we take the cup which represents your blood, I pray, Father, first off, for you. The healing power of the blood of Jesus just touch every person that needs a touch in their body today. And Father, that the power of the blood of Jesus bring unity in the body of Christ and to our nation. That, Lord, that we'd be made complete in you. And Lord, that your blood would wash, cleanse. Lord, that you'd fill us today overflowing with who you are. So, Lord, we rejoice in you and we are so thankful that you shed your blood that we might have life. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, take the cup. Hallelujah. Father, we rejoice in you today. We rejoice in remembering what you've done. We rejoice in your word. And Lord, we are all in. We are all in with you, Lord. So I pray, Father God, that as you are the bond of perfection, the love of God is being at work inside of us, that, Lord, that we would have eyes to see what you're doing. And, Lord, that we'd not miss out on opportunities this week, Lord, or the next week, but, Lord, that your grace like rain would be upon us. And, Lord, that we would extend that grace and your tender mercies to people we come in contact with. Help us to be the lighthouse, God. That we'd be the lighthouse to the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory, flowing through us like a river of living water. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand today, huh? Now, there's refreshments out there in the foyer. You don't have to run off. Grab a little